And now, from beyond our dimension, this is the Jeff Mara Podcast. Here's Jeff.
My guest is Sarah Breskman Cosme, best-selling author and master hypnotist. Her work is featured internationally on programs such as Coast to Coast AM and Gaia TV. Today we'll be talking about advice from ETs on how to be a superhuman and more. Sarah, thank you for joining me and welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sarah, since I'm just getting to know you, and I'm assuming that a lot of people in my audience are as well, can we start a little with your background and how you got into being a hypnotist?
Sure. I got into all of this stuff by accident. I never set out to do any of this stuff. I wanted to be a psychologist, actually. I grew up and had the background of more of like a science type background. So I wanted to help people because when I was growing up, I had all kinds of problems. I was really overweight. I had phobias and fears, and I even had developed OCD really badly where I would open and close drawers before leaving the house. It was like so debilitating. And then on top of that, I had sleep issues. And if other people had an issue and I would think about it a lot, I could manifest it. It was this horrible like experience of just not feeling in control of my life. So my parents put me in therapy, and it was because of that that I decided I wanted to be a psychologist. So I went to college to become a psychologist because that's all I knew. So I went to college with all these fears and problems and issues, and I was really worried about going to college because I just didn't know how I was going to function, you know, because they were so debilitating. I mean, sometimes I couldn't sleep at all, and there were just so many different issues that I had. And I had worked through therapy for most of my young adult life. And while that was great, I never really felt like I cured myself. And so I went to college and I came back home to my family's house. It was Thanksgiving break. It was the first time I had been back. And I walked through the door and there's a big mirror that you see in their foyer. And I stared at my reflection and my jaw dropped. Because I had realized that while I was away for just a few months, I had forgotten to have my problems. I just didn't have them. They weren't attached to me. I had forgotten. And I was just so shocked in that instant because I could tell that I wasn't really even aware of it. In the dorm room, the mirror is kind of high up. And I never really looked at myself in the mirror. I didn't really like the way I looked. So I've just made it a practice of not really looking at myself. I could tell my clothes were fitting looser on me, but I didn't think anything of it. And I was eating the same way that I ate at home, but I had lost a lot of weight. And then I realized in that moment that I had changed my thought patterns because I had changed my environment. So because I had changed my environment, all my thought patterns had changed and I had forgotten to have my problems. And it was such like an aha moment for me to realize that we actually have patterns of our thoughts that create our habits. And I realized like, okay, I did this and that differently. And that created a new thought pattern and a new thought sequence. And after that, my life was totally changed. Like if I have like an issue that I'm working on, I change my thought patterns. Even after having like my third child, I've never had issues with weight anymore. Or, you know, if I have a pattern, I change the way I think. And I change my habits, my patterns based on understanding that principle. So this is so huge. If I could literally just do this for myself, could I help other people in this way? But, you know, who am I going to really tell this to? Because this just didn't really make any sense to anyone. So I graduated college, and before going to become a psychologist, I had an internship where my job was to counsel my patients and also to give them medication. That was my job. I learned so much, and I was so excited to help like as many people as I could. But I felt, and this is my own experience, and I'm not knocking the field whatsoever, but I just felt like disappointed when I got into the field because I thought to myself, this is the leading edge of thought. This is like the culmination of my whole college career. This is where it leads you to, like in my own feelings, it didn't seem like anyone was getting any better. I mean, I would counsel them with like, you know, therapeutic techniques. No one seemed to get any better. I mean, we were talking about the same problems over and over again. And if I showed up for my shift, say at 7 a.m., it seemed like within 45 minutes, they were drooling on the couch. So how was that helping the people there? I didn't see one success story. And you know, the protocol in, this is 97, if someone was speaking with extraterrestrials, and some of these people were, then they were considered schizophrenic and put on all this heavy duty medication. And I just got so discouraged. I thought, is this it? This is it. This is all we have to help people. I just didn't like what I was seeing. So I didn't go to graduate school. I did not become a psychologist, even though that was my dream when I was a child. And I decided that I would look into another method that might be more effective. And I remembered that in college, we learned about regression therapy, getting to the root cause of an issue. So I decided I wanted to learn more about regression therapy, but I wanted to learn bringing a person to their childhood issue. I was not into like past life regression whatsoever. In fact, I didn't know if I believed in it because I didn't have that type of a background whatsoever. So I decided I wanted to become a master hypnotist in order to do regression therapy, get back to the root cause of someone's trauma. And also, you know, I had to learn, lose weight, quit smoking, and I had to do past life regression. It was like part of a package to become a master hypnotist. And I became a master hypnotist in 2009. But what changed my life was it was really obvious right away as I was practicing and learning that when I would practice on clients this past life regression technique, that they were healing themselves, like spontaneously. They would come in with one issue that was scientifically unable to be healed, and they would heal from it just upon getting to the root cause of their trauma from a past life. And so I thought, wow, this is incredible. I want to do something that works. So I studied with Dr. Brian Weiss, and he was my first teacher, and I did his method for many years, and I loved it. And I thought, after doing it for many years, I thought, there's something missing. Like, I feel like there's something missing in my life. So I contacted this psychic, and her name's Emmanuelle McIntosh, because everyone asks me. She's out of France. She's an amazing psychic. But at the time, I didn't believe that, because when she gave me a psychic reading, she said, oh, this is the easiest reading I've ever done. Everyone has different future potentials, but your future is so clear. I just see one, and this is the easiest reading I think I've ever done, because you're supposed to do Dolores Cannon's method, and you're going to get really good at this method. You'll be writing books and speaking about it all over the world, and you're going to help a lot of people. And I don't know if you've ever had like a really bad psychic reading where you just want to get off the phone, but you're trying to be polite. That's how I felt. I just thought, why did I spend money on a psychic again? You know, like obviously she got me confused with someone else. I mean, I would never write books. I would never speak about this. And I don't even know who Dolores Cannon is. So I really thought it was just like the worst psychic reading ever. And I was really disappointed. And I thought I just wasted a lot of money until like probably 6 months later, because I had never heard of Dolores Cannon. And I really thought she got me confused with someone else. Something with Dolores Cannon popped up on my computer and it looked interesting. So I just started listening to what this Dolores Cannon person had to say. And I thought, wow, this is really interesting. And that led me to take her course. And so I took her course. And as soon as I did, it was like the goosebumps all over, where I just felt in so much alignment with this information that I knew instantly that I needed to take this class. And I worked my way up, just like the psychic said, I worked my way up from the bottom to becoming an instructor in this field. And it just seemed like I was built and made for this type of modality. And I just started teaching it all over the world with Dolores Cannon's daughter. And then I was writing books and then speaking about them all over the world. So anyway, this psychic and I have become friends. And she's really good if you ever want to get a really good psychic reading. But that's how I got into this, by accident.
Well, that's a great background. And I'm curious, when you're regressing people and they have a spontaneous healing, does it happen when they have some sort of realization? You're regressing them, they make a realization, an aha moment, and then at that point, their body instantly heals.
Yes, that's exactly how it happens, because we never learned this in school, but actually our body is just sending us a message. It's actually on your side, not against you. Things don't happen to you like illnesses or issues for a terrible reason. It's the body sending a message. So when you get in this deep relaxed state, or you're meditating deeply, or you're, you know, using a hypnotist and going deep in and you, to yourself and tuning into yourself, you can find out the very root cause of these issues. So what happens is, as soon as you find out the root cause, if there's a lesson, even a purpose for whatever issue or illness, as long as it's not something that you wrote into your life path in order to keep with you for whatever soul growth you want, then you can instantly release it and heal it. And that's why the healing happens all the time. I mean, you don't even need a person like me. The body is a literal messenger. So it'll send messages that are quite literal. Usually when an issue is happening on the right side of the body, it'll be something happening right now. Like for instance, some of my clients with right hand issues will be holding on too tightly to something. Same with the left hand. So the left side is usually something from the past. So sometimes people get arthritis in their left hand because they're holding on too tightly to like a person or something, or their old house or their old relationship. And if they could get the message they need to let it go, it can just instantly be released and healed. And even like, if you just look at your body, and if you have an issue or an illness, look at where it is, because the body is literally sending you a message. So it's a literal message. And it's not very hard to get that message when you understand that things are so literal. So yes, it happens instantly. Sometimes it needs to be translated into the physical reality after the client does whatever the higher self tells them to do. Like for instance, sometimes, you know, like when people are trying to heal eyesight, if they're near, don't want to see things close to them, or they blurred their eyesight on purpose because they don't want to see something in the future. Upon understanding that, sometimes the higher self will tell them, well, this will be fixed in like maybe a week. Like for my son, when he was healing his eyesight, they told him it would take about a week, but to remember to have a lot of trust in their spirit team, or they'll give you like an assignment. And if you don't do it, then a lot of times you don't get the healing that your team said you would get.
I know I'm asking a lot, but can you give me an example of an aha moment that led to healing?
Okay. Oh my gosh. I have so many. Let's see. I'll just tell you, for my son, for example, he used to wear glasses, and I know this would embarrass him, but I'm sure he's not going to watch this. He used to wear glasses, and his glasses were breaking, and it was during, you know, the whole Corona thing. So I put him under hypnosis, and I asked his higher self, you know, what is the very root cause of his eye issues? Because he had one eye that he had astigmatism in, and it was just seemed to be getting worse and worse and worse. So his higher self said that in the past, he had seen a lot of things that were very unacceptable to him, and now they were coming back in his current life. And the more he saw certain things unfolding, it frightened him to the point where he blurred his own eyesight, basically. Upon understanding that, the higher self said that he could release it. Since he got the message, he understood it. But the purpose was that he needed to have more faith in the here and now, to realize he was always safe. And so they wanted him to really start to tune into himself and feel secure. And then they release it in a week.
And then his eyesight went back to 20/20?
It went back to 20/20, but it's a marker. So sometimes that one eye will get a little weaker and sometimes it'll get stronger according to how much trust he really has in all of this. But he hasn't had to wear glasses since then because his eyes got significantly better. The points, I hope I'm saying this right, the points correction was a definite noticeable correction to the point where he didn't need the glasses anymore.
Wow.
But that's just one example. This kind of thing happens all the time whenever anybody really tunes in or does a QHHT session mm-hmm. or maybe understands that that's how the body can release whatever physical issue.
Well, since you worked with Dolores, your clientele... Well, studying under Dolores,
yes,
we'll put
yes.
it that way. Probably your clientele started moving away from physical ailments and addictions into all kinds of stuff that for the average person would be way out there.
Yeah. You know, all of this stuff started happening by accident to me because I wanted to take the level 3 class, the highest level class that Dolores Cannon teaches. And so I needed a person to regress on the spot that I could videotape because all of a sudden this class was going to be in Florida and I had been wanting something close to me, not far away in Hawaii or something like that. And it was just all of a sudden on the schedule. So I was really, the pressure was on to find somebody to hypnotize and videotape. So I didn't want to use a paying client. I wanted to use someone I knew that wouldn't mind being videotaped. So I just spontaneously asked one of my friends, and I had been friends with her for over 10 years. And I knew her very well because almost every single day after school, we would sit together on the playground, watch our children play. And I knew that she was very scientifically minded and didn't believe in any of this stuff because I had tried to bring certain things up to her and she would instantly dismiss it. So when I asked her if she would volunteer for this, I instantly regretted it because I thought, why didn't I ask one of my open friends? You know, I have a few open friends. I could have asked one of them instead of her, but it was too late. I already asked her and she said, yes, I would love to do this with you because she was suffering from this brain condition called pseudotumor cerebri. And she hadn't told anyone from the school, only her husband knew and this team of specialists at the University of Miami, but she was really suffering from this condition. So she was working closely with a team of specialists from the University of Miami, and they told her there's no cure for this condition. The best they could do was put her on heavy duty medication, but there was still this huge risk of a stroke. So they told her it was very important to take this medication. But while she was on the medication, she felt terrible and she was losing vision out of her left eye. She was just really lethargic and felt sick all the time. So when I had spontaneously asked her for what seemed like by accident, she was willing to do this session with me, even though she didn't believe in anything, any of this stuff. And I told her what the Dolores Cannon method was and what I wanted to do with her and that, you know, I was going to regress her, and I know she didn't believe in past lives, but I told her, you know, you can think of it like a story, but this is very effective. I'm going to regress you, and whatever comes up, but the greatest part about this is, well, I'll ask to speak with your higher consciousness, and then you can find out anything about yourself, and you can even heal yourself. So she said, yes, she would be my guinea pig. So I started out her first regression. And again, this is my friend who was actually the science and history teacher at the kids' school. So she did not believe in these civilizations that she spontaneously saw. In our first regression, she recounted in full detail this ancient society that appeared to be in the South Pacific. When she zoomed out of her body and had left her body, she could see that this continent with this beautiful society was in the South Pacific, although no longer there. And it was a beautiful, compassionate society. It was matriarchal in that the women were the natural leaders. And the reason why was because they could subconsciously pass knowledge down from the mother to the daughter without ever having to teach their daughter this information. It was like a channel that was just automatically passed down, where they would understand the principles and qualities of plants and the different medicinal properties that they would have. And they were the natural leaders of this ancient society that really seemed to have no competition whatsoever. It seemed to be very compassionate. And we came to understand that the society where she lived was called Lemuria, or they called it Amon. That was the name that was given when we were working on this. But she lived in this beautiful society, and then noticed that there were these people that started showing up in these like really advanced type of travel spheres, where it was like using the stealth technology. You couldn't see into this type of really advanced travel sphere, but when they would land, they would come out, they were people, and they were super advanced, and they wanted something from this society where she lived. And when they couldn't get it, they took her as a prisoner and destroyed her whole continent of Lemuria. What they had was like these atomic, like nuclear devices that they set off in rifts under the ocean, and it created these massive tidal waves that totally destroyed this whole civilization. And they took her, first they made her watch, and then they took her, and she spent 60 years in a prison in this really advanced place where they were using like stem cell research and all kinds of really interesting advanced technology. And we came to understand that this place was Atlantis. And she spent 60 years as a prisoner in this place to really kind of see from her own perspective what was happening in this ancient society. Again, this friend of mine did not know anything about these ancient cultures. So, and I had heard a little bit, but I wasn't like an expert or anything. I didn't know, you know, these type of stories. So after I took her through this past life, and then I asked her higher self, or I accessed her higher consciousness the way Dolores Cannon did it. And I asked them, why did you show her this lifetime? I mean, you could have shown her many different things. And they said the purpose of that was to show her and I that we had decided before coming into this lifetime that we would uncover this information and share it with the world, that the world needed this so badly, that the information had been buried for thousands and thousands of years. And the reason it had been buried for so long was that when it starts to resurface, it would create change amongst anybody that heard it, that they would actually be changed upon hearing this. And so I thought, that's a nice story. You know, how am I going to believe that when I've heard many different things? But then I asked her higher self, well, what is the very root cause of her brain condition? And they said the very root cause was that it acted as a catalyst for her to come see me, that without any kind of catalyst, she would have never agreed to have a session like this. And they were so right. She would have never agreed to do anything like this whatsoever. She didn't believe in this stuff. So I said, well, if that's the root cause, can you heal this for her now, since, you know, she got the message? And they said, yes. And so my friend started feeling it draining, and it was draining like behind her left eye even, and going back down through her, and she could feel it. And then when I woke her up, she felt so good, she just decided to stop taking the medication. This was her choice. And then she had to go back to see her specialist at the University of Miami, and they did her next scan and said that they couldn't even believe it. It had healed so severely that they didn't really understand, because she hadn't taken the medication. And she told them she did not change her diet. She didn't do anything else. All she did was this Dolores Cannon method, you know, and she had healed herself. So we decided, okay, what is this important story that's so important that the world has been waiting for thousands and thousands of years? So I put her deep under hypnosis, and I asked her higher self, take us to the beginning of this story. What is it that you want us to share with the world? I know, because her and I have talked before this next session, that we both had an idea that it was probably going to be the beginning of her lifetime in this ancient society of Lemuria. I mean, we thought we were going to start from the beginning of her childhood and understand more about the society and then, you know, find out more about Atlantis. No. They decided to take my friend, who did not believe in extraterrestrials, to another lifetime where she was an extraterrestrial crash landing on Earth for the first time. My first initial reaction was a little bit of shock because I just kept thinking, she already thinks I'm really weird. Like, now this is going to blow the top off of, like, you know, how she feels about me. But these are her memories. This is her recounting this. And I knew she didn't believe in extraterrestrials because I had asked her, you know, in the beginning, what's your belief on this? What's your belief on that? And when it came to extraterrestrials, it was a definite no. You know, she didn't believe in them. So here she is recounting in so many detail being an extraterrestrial, how her ship is powered with this propulsion system, like where she came from, why they came to Earth, you know, the other society, what they used to do, their practices. I mean, I have to say, I had heard a little bit about this, but these were details I had never been exposed to. I mean, these were like firsthand details. And I just thought, wow, is this where, you know, is this information that you guys want us to share with the world? This is what is really important. So yes, that is where the whole beginning of the story. And then things got even weirder for me, as if that's not weird enough, where, you know, I was still seeing clients and they would come in to their session. I would bring them into hypnosis. I never led one of them whatsoever. But then all of a sudden they were going back to lifetimes in Lemuria or Atlantis or an extraterrestrial crash landing on Earth. And I thought, what is happening? Is this just a coincidence? So I would ask all my other friends, you know, do you find that everybody goes to these lifetimes? I mean, I never really, you know, knew that this would be happening. And they said, no, this is not a coincidence. And the higher consciousness kept saying, I mean, maybe I just had a hard time believing it because there's nothing special about me. But the higher consciousness kept saying, you're going to share this information. We want you to put it in a book, put all this information in a book. I mean, so I finally did. And they said, we want you to just put it in a book and don't worry about sharing it. So I just self-published on Amazon. And the very first day I did, it sold like 1,000 copies in India. The higher consciousness kept saying, there are people waiting for this information. People have been for this information. And so we will share it through you. I mean, how anybody found out about me, like just self-publishing on Amazon, I have no clue. It just went straight to number one, my first book, A Hypnotist's Journey to Atlantis. And they have literally been sharing it through me. They just put me in the places where I need to go on whatever, like your, you know, channel, because obviously your listeners need to hear some of these things. And I'm not doing any of it. It's so interesting to be along for the ride, but it's not me writing these books. I mean, I'd love to take the credit for it. And there's nothing special about me, but I'm literally just showing up wherever they put me, so to speak. I'm just the scribe, just the messenger.
The very first time you heard her story and you were going through this and you were hearing about Lemuria and all this stuff, and you were sitting there, I don't know, taking notes or something, were you like freaking out?
Yeah. A little bit, yeah. I was, because it was so much detail. I mean, she could smell the smells of the plants. I mean, it was interesting to ask her about the birds. What did the birds sound like? And she could describe them. She could describe the gardens, the waterway system. I mean, the details that she noticed were so profound. And it was almost like I got to experience it. I was in so much shock, though, when she started talking about extraterrestrial lifetimes, because it was nothing like anything I'd ever heard before. And what I found so fascinating about it was where she came from, or where it seemed like the Lemurians, a lot of them came from, was from a civilization within the Pleiades, actually. And they actually kept their symbols that were passed down through Lemuria from the Pleiades. This was just what came through my friend under hypnosis. But when they were in this realm or this place in Lemuria, they did really interesting practices where they would create using these like special crystals, or just like a gemstone. They would create kind of like a vortex, a realm. They would create this, and everyone had to go into this realm. And when they did, they would be shocked into understanding the secrets of the universe. So of course I said, let's go remember that. So I brought her back to when she went back into the realm, and she remembered that as this commander of an extraterrestrial command, she went into this realm 7 times. And it was interesting because as I'm trying to get this information, it kept being taken from her because her higher consciousness kept saying there's a lot of it that we can't possibly understand. But what they could let her remember when she went, when she remembered going back into this realm that everybody had to go into, was that life is a game. So they would see this as soon as they were shocked into enlightenment, they would see that this is an orchestrated game. It's very orchestrated, and that everything is in like the formation of a figure eight. So there really is no end, no beginning. Everything is consistently happening and folding up on top of itself. And this game has been going on for longer than we could possibly with our own consciousness comprehend in the aspect of time. Because every single human, every single soul on in this realm right now, we're all part of this group. Like everyone is pretty special. They're part of this group. We're all part of this ancient grouping of beings that have traveled from realm or planet, whatever you want to call it, to planet, to seed and fully experience every aspect of this realm. And then we keep going and we keep traveling and we keep expanding our consciousness. And the point of that is we're here to expand our consciousness so that we never, you know, have to be alone, and we always keep our energy moving. That is like really the game of all of us. It's a game. So you never really have something, you never really die. You are always nothing could ever happen to your soul. You are always taken care of. You are always more powerful than you have any idea that you really are. And we're all really in this together. We really are one consciousness, and we really are just playing a game here.
Over the years that you have practiced, how many different ET races have you come into contact with?
Oh, that's such a great question. There are a lot of ET races that don't even have a name for their race. They would even, when they're working through the filter of my client, they would even say there's no name for this race. There are some consciousness on other realms or whatever you want to call it, planet, that are crystalline based, that are like crystals that communicate with one another and try to make each other laugh. It's just really, really fascinating. And then sometimes there are telltale signs that show up in the person's iris if they've been contacted by a certain race of extraterrestrials. I've heard from multiple different higher selves when they're under hypnosis that sometimes, well, actually all the time, your iris actually holds a blueprint of your soul. So if you look at your iris in the mirror, you can see all these different lines, and it's basically a record, like an interesting record of everywhere you've been. Sometimes different things show up in your iris that would be like a telltale indicator or like a clue that you might have left for yourself. Like some people have like a little crown around their pupil if they've been to the Pleiades a lot of times, or they're contacted by Pleiadians, or sometimes little sparks of light will show up in their iris if they've been contacted by like Arcturians or Andromedans. Sometimes they have it's hard to explain, like a little light that kind of goes through their iris, like a little weird yellow bleed through, or I don't know how to call it. The yellow goes into their iris. So it's really interesting. It's harder to see with brown eyes, and even brown eyes, because sometimes, this is very general, not all the time, be an indicator that you've reincarnated on Earth, or you're trying to bring information from somewhere to the Earth plane. So, or you even came from an originating planet or star that is further from the sun. I mean, these are just general traits and genetic clues that sometimes come through, not all the time. So it's really interesting.
What have your eyes told you?
So I, since when I intuitively look into this information, I believe that I'm trying to bring things onto the Earth plane, and that I have reincarnated multiple times on Earth. I just feel, when I hear my clients talk about feeling very unstable on the Earth plane, or like they're a visitor, I don't have those feelings. I feel very grounded to the Earth plane, but I don't know if that's the case for other people with, you know, brown eyes. I think it's just a clue that I left myself. And of course, these are very generalizations.
I have interviewed over 500 near-death experiencers, and a significant number of them either go to other planets on the other side or are with ETs, multidimensional beings. And I'm sure that you take people kind of, you know, through near-death or the life in between. Do you have any comment about that?
Yeah, I've taken so many people through the death process, and it's really quite fascinating. Honestly, it really doesn't get old what people describe when they're going through the death process. A lot of times, and people don't know this, that don't do the work that I do, but a lot of times when the body is dying, it feels exhilaration, actually. It feels a state of euphoria. And then once the soul leaves the body, it doesn't feel that anyway. It all of a sudden feels this great sense of relief, and relief takes over. And then they kind of understand things that they never really understood before. And after they do like a life review most of the time, then they go about taking classes to learn different things they want to learn. And it's all based on like how they want to expand their soul. Basically, when I'm talking to these higher level beings that have already expanded their soul in a collective, like say the Arcturian collective, so to speak, when I'm asking them, what did you guys do to, you know, become so advanced? And they will say that over a millennia, they came to fully embrace and understand and know that they are source, that they are God, that is the goal, that is the end result of the game. But we come in and we put all these limitations on ourselves and try to pretend like we're small when really we are all source. But it's interesting when people do have, even if they do a past life regression or near death experience, it's almost like they've created a signal that allows them to start experiencing extraterrestrial contact. And what's interesting is anyone that's actually working on themselves. And don't get me wrong, there's no wrong way to live your life. There's a lot of people that come into their human existence that have no intention on working on themselves. They want to really fully embrace being a human, because when everybody passes and they leave this life and they go to the in-between, they know everything already. So they want to experience this forgetting so that they want to really embody themselves into the human experience. And a lot of people have no interest in like raising their consciousness. But for the people that are raising their consciousness, really interesting things happen. It's like the universe is a reflection of us. So the more you deep dive into yourself, the universe responds by becoming interested in you. So actually, it's like goes two ways. So as you really work on yourself, you might notice something. You might notice all of a sudden you seem to line up with amazing synchronicities. Like you might be looking at the clock and it's like 11:11, 12:12. And you start to see that things are starting to work out in a weird sort of game pattern. Well, that's the first indicator that you're in alignment with your path. And then you start to receive more communication from your guides or even from other versions of yourself. I've taken so many people into hypnosis, and many people have been afraid of extraterrestrial contact. But I have to say that throughout all the years, most of the time when a person's being contacted, they're contacted by other versions of themselves. Because if you think about time, it doesn't exist. So there's other versions of yourself that would be considered more advanced. And when you're open enough and ready for this contact, the universe will respond by bringing you the contact. And there is like an etiquette. It's so funny because no one ever talks about this, but the extraterrestrials that come through, my clients will say, you know, through my client, we would really like them to start to develop like a calmer peace in their mind so that we can put clearer thoughts into their mind. So they always mention like meditation or trying to find a time where you can develop your skills of creating a quiet in your mind. I mean, there's like really easy like tips for that, you know, like when you wake up in the morning and you have access to your dreams, you're in the deep theta state. And that's when you have a lot less thoughts. So you can just kind of prolong that experience when you wake up in the morning. But if you want to experience more extraterrestrial contact, they do communicate telepathically. So if you can develop that skill of having less thoughts, and they can implant into your mind the thoughts that would be more clear if you have an open space for them, so to speak.
All right. In the beginning, I said that you got advice from an ET on how to be a superhuman. Can you share that advice with us?
Yeah. So what's really fascinating to me is, you know, I was really on this exploration to find the most advanced being. I want to know the most advanced being in this universe, or the being with the most potential. You know, it turns out that humans have what they describe it as, the human is actually the being in the universe that has unlimited potential. Humans, like the awakened human, is so powerful. But it's so funny because we don't have access to this information. I mean, we're just told that we're so not powerful, that we have no skills, and manifestation takes so long. But the more we work on ourselves and the more we understand and embody that we are source, the more this kind of information opens up. And extraterrestrials that come through my clients are always giving them advice on how they can become like a superhuman. I mean, for instance, this is really fascinating to me. The extraterrestrials will say, you know, one little thing that they can do in their life is to develop a relationship with the Mother Earth. And the way they can do that, and they will actually, there's amazing things that will happen, is if they can, for 15 minutes, put their bare feet onto the earth wherever they live, that is like the best energy device that will change their life. Because what happens is that enables them to start to develop a relationship and then communicate with the earth. And then nature in your area will start to respond, because even the weeds or the plants will be cures for you. If you have any illness or, you know, issues or ailments, that they actually, it's responding to you, because as the human consciousness is growing stronger and stronger, so is the consciousness of this earth. And the extraterrestrials have said that it's time that we start to develop our relationship with the earth, that we need to start building and bridging this gap and go back to having this relationship. You know, I know we have a lot of advancements, but we also can't forget to start developing our relationship with the earth. But it's one way to really connect and be almost like more like a superhuman, because the nature in your area will respond. It will give you like vitamins, like whatever, you know, you're lacking, it'll start to grow and be a reflection in the plants around you. It's so interesting. And then you can ask the nature questions and things will start to show up, like in the form of animals showing you a message or whatever. And then we can use crystals. I mean, oh my gosh, so interesting to me, because I have crystals, but I never really understood that you can use them for different things. And, you know, beings have told me, or told my clients when they're under hypnosis, that if you focus on like a crystal, the properties of certain crystals carry a certain frequency and a certain energetic pattern. And what happens is, if you align your energy with these crystals that have like a really high functioning energy pattern, that when you align your energy with it, it works to change the energy patterns in your own body. So you literally can help yourself heal by working with crystals, because the crystals working with your own energetic field and taking it from being chaotic to like a harmonized field. And your crystals are actually working in the background, whether you know it or not. So if you program them, it actually can help you in your day-to-day life.
What other practical changes have you personally made in your life to become more superhuman?
Well, I don't know if I'm there yet with the superhuman thing, but I definitely feel really lucky that I have access to this information, because I used to be so afraid of everything and so afraid of like death or, you know, what's going to happen to me. But throughout the years, I've really started to understand that there is nothing to worry about, that we're all being taken care of, and that if you even are an investigator, like the higher self has told me multiple times, if you just investigate your life and you look back on your life, they always say, can't you see how everything just works out perfectly and gets you to the place where you needed to go? And even though, you know, you had a different plan for things, can't you see how everything worked out better than you thought it would? And so you're always being taken care of. There actually is nothing to worry about. This is like a game. So I've really released a lot of fear from over the years, from really understanding that. And you know how people are always like, raise your frequency. You know, there's so many practices to raise your frequency. Well, the higher self has said, yeah, that, you know, you can work on that. But the most important thing is to raise your beliefs, because you are creating your reality through your belief system, through what you render through your pineal gland and, you know, the images that you render. So if you can raise your beliefs as to like allowing more things to come into your life, trusting more, then really that is such an important aspect of all of this and this awakening process. So raise your beliefs, they've said.
It's amazing that you say that, because not too long ago, I had a guest that is a psychologist, PhD researcher, researching being psychic. Basically, he said that if you don't believe that you can be psychic, you won't be, because it's like a filter for you.
I love that, because it goes right back to the fact that we are the creator itself. We are like source, and we just think we have no power when we are the ones creating our own reality. So yes, it really does matter. If you can just even open your belief system to like just being an investigator, what might happen next that might be in my best interest, you know?
Mm-hmm. Another one of your books is about the secrets of the Sphinx.
Yes.
So what's under the Sphinx?
Oh my gosh, so much. Well, what's really fascinating is that when you go to Egypt or you go to any of these sacred places, there's all these like clues everywhere, and it looks like you're looking for something. I mean, there's all these clues, and it's like you see all these depictions and the hieroglyphs. Well, the higher self always says that you are the clue, you are the key. When you go to a lot of these sacred sites, they're built on specific energy lines for a reason. And so they were built because they still hold these ancient codes and light language and symbols that come up about a foot and a half off the ground. And when you're really tuning in to yourself, going there yourself, you're accessing this information because you are what you've been looking for. You are the key that unlocks everything in these sacred places. And it works with your own crown chakra to download information. But under the Sphinx, there's a lot of information that's been stored there. And, you know, some of the stuff has been taken away. And when my clients are looking for it and they're just tuning in to look for some of this information, they found it in very strange places that are really weird. I never knew that there was information or artifacts stored in these places. But there used to be like a ship located under the left paw of the Sphinx, like very far down. But this ship, according to my clients under hypnosis, was more like, looked like a pebble. It wasn't like any kind of material that we use for anything today. It was also this powdery like substance that was considered monatomic gold. is really interesting. But the most important stuff there are these codes, these scrolls that you can only tune into when you're in the right frequency. So nobody can really steal that stuff. There was also a scrying lens that had like a looking glass type of feel to it. And when you can look into this scrying lens, it would show you the histories of all the different battles, because this is a realm of duality, of light versus dark for a reason, because you can't have growth without that. So there's a reason behind what you would consider negativity. Although when you really tune into why, it is just for the growth and expansion of our consciousness. So you see the history of all the battles in this.
I was checking out your website, and I think you actually lead tours through Egypt as well, right?
I do, because I went on a tour and I really felt like what I lacked when I went was I really wanted to know how I fit into the equation. So the whole purpose of the tours that I take people on are to have people retrieve a lot of their divine essence through going to some of these places. And of course, I've asked the higher consciousness, what exactly should we do in these places that would maximize their experience? Like, how did the initiates do it? And I take people step by step through these places.
Well, you are also going to be speaking at the Stairway to the, I think, is it Stairway to the Stars? Is that what it's called? Disclosure Fest in November in Vegas. Yeah. What type of juicy things are you going to be disclosing there?
I'm going to let it all come out. The really juicy details of what these extraterrestrials have said. But not only that, I really prefer to use some clips of actual sessions when my clients are deep under hypnosis, because not only can you feel the frequency that comes from these high level beings, but it's just much more profound for people to actually hear what they say rather than just have me talk about it, which I'm going to tell a lot of this information about different practices that they've shared and tools and techniques. And also at Stairway to the Stars, they're letting me do a live regression in front of the audience. Wow. So I'm going to put someone deep under hypnosis, access their higher self, and then open it up to the audience to ask questions.
Would that be difficult for the hypno-E? I'm not sure how you would say that. But
no, because once I access their higher self, it's not like it's coming from them. You know, I'm just going to access their higher self and then ask the higher self questions.
I guess what I mean is being on stage in front of everybody, you know, wouldn't it be difficult for them to be able to relax and get into that state?
You know, I've done it before on a cruise and everyone really enjoyed it. So I just need to make sure it's somewhat quiet, somewhat relaxing. But I have worked with this person before. Oh, okay. So I know it's not like somebody who's going to volunteer, who I'd never worked with, might be a little bit more challenging to get them to relax or to trust me even.
Oh, that makes sense. We've talked about two of your books. What's the title of the other one?
So my latest book is A Hypnotist's Journey from the Trail to the Star People. So I really go deep into the traditions of Native Americans and also star people and star lineages. All these books write themselves. Like I said, I don't write these books. I'm literally just the scribe and the messenger. But when my client was under hypnosis, this other consciousness started coming through and he claimed his name was Anawaya and that he had been watching me and he wanted to make sure I gained his trust first. And then since he had watched me and decided I was worthy enough, then he decided he wanted to share his story. And his story was his own firsthand perspective of walking the Trail of Tears in the 1800s. So Anawaya told me his whole life story and so many things about the star people and these secret symbols that have traveled from, you know, star places, realms, whatever you want to call it, into our society right now, and how we can use these symbols and sacred information to really start returning to a lot of the ancient ways.
Well, after watching this podcast, people may want to reach out to you and ask you questions. Are you open to that?
Yeah, I love helping people. If I don't get back to your question, don't be mad. I'll try my best. But they can contact me on Instagram or Facebook, and also through my website, The Holistic Hypnotist. And I have workshops that are open because I book up so fast. I really enjoy doing these 3-day workshops because I feel like people can get a lot and they can really find out a lot about themselves. But warning, I do really put people through a lot of inner work, but it's really amazing the transformation that comes through people. So this is if you really want to deep dive into yourself, because it's 3 days of past life regression, inner child healing, and other different inner healing modalities that really get to the root cause. And you really do a lot of deep inner healing and clearing work.
Are you working on anything else that you want us to know about?
I'm almost done my 4th book because these books write themselves and I don't really have to do anything. So I should be done with the 4th book in a few months.
Great. I got a reason to get you back.
Yay. Yeah. I want to come back.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. All right. Well, before we finish up, can you give us one last positive message?
Well, what I find so fascinating is people come into this life a lot of times with, they don't realize this, but when they go to the in-between and they go back and they regroup with basically other aspects of themselves, a lot of times they realize upon returning that they come back with just their experiences. While that's beautiful, the higher self says that the real reason we come into our lifetime is to master ourselves. So when you become a spiritual master of yourself and you really start to follow the trails and the clues inward, then what happens is the more you become a spiritual master of yourself, it actually creates an imprint on the consciousness that's a permanent imprint. And this permanent imprint never goes away. So when you think about how can I actually help the consciousness of the planet or the realm that we're in, becoming a spiritual master of yourself is one of the best things you can do, because anybody can come and access that consciousness once you've left that permanent imprint.
Sarah, thank you for that message, and thank you for being my guest.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for watching the Jeff Mara podcast. I really appreciate you. Another way to show support is through YouTube memberships. And if you do, there are loyalty badges and other perks depending on your level of membership. All you need to do is click the join button underneath the video to find out more. Thank you for your support.